Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Wrestling Uncensored. Tonight on the show, we recap SmackDown, Usos, and RK-Bro for the Unified Tag Titles next week. Alexa Bliss returns to Monday Night Raw. AEW Dynamite delivers, and lots more pro wrestling coming up. Let's do it. Whoa. Yeah, what's up? Simon Brothers in the house, and we got
the big guy,
the big man, Big Johnny with us as well. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm well, guys. Yourself?
Doing fine, you know. Sweating.
Yeah, but less sweaty now because you got a nice haircut.
Yeah.
Get yourself in there. There you go. Yeah.
Still look at new.
Him. Look at him, Johnny. He's not part of the long hair club like you anymore. He's part of the short hair team. Team Dave.
I'm the dog face.
It's like I said off air. You guys look more like brothers now, so it fits.
We do look alike now, right? It's good.
Yeah.
Are we like the Bashams? Are you Doug or Danny?
I don't know which is which.
I don't want to be Danny.
The Bashams weren't real brothers, though.
They weren't?
No.
No, they weren't.
No. We got to be a real brother tag team. If we're the Steiners, who's Rick and who's Scott?
I guess I'm Rick.
I got to be Scotty.
Yeah, usually when we do these things, like, you're the charismatic lead and I'm the Jannetty.
Grow a bear, Dave. I will not grow a bear, Franco. I don't know what the hell that means.
What kind of bear? Like a panda bear?
I think he means a beard. But I will not grow a bear either, or a beard. Although I actually haven't shaved in a while.
Yeah.
This is as much as I can get, because my genes are slightly different than yours.
Yeah, I can grow a real bushy beard.
Yeah, he can grow a beard, and my it's just, I don't know. I inherited more of the something. I don't know. Shout out to Franco316. He's a member of the team. Don't forget to be a member. Join.ringsidereport.net if you have not joined already. Sign up. You can be part of the show. If you're watching on YouTube, click that join button beneath me. Shout out to everybody watching live right now or watching, you know, afterwards, after the show is over, you know?
Hello to the future.
Hello to the future. Watching us on Twitch, on Facebook, on Twitter, and, of course, on YouTube. And the members can call us if you want to call us.
Yeah.
You can call us.
The swollen members?
Not the swollen members, not. But Mocha Only can call us if he wants to. He doesn't have to be a member. With Mocha Only. Da-na, da-da-da. Oh, yeah.
Are they still alive?
Who, Mocha Only? I think so.
What about Chocolair?
It's been a long time. Swollen members. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, we went to see Action Bronson the other day, and before he played, there was, like, music playing. And when we walked into the MTELUS, they were playing that song, The Swollen Members. And with Mocha Only, always ripped it up. The Swollen Members. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da.
Yeah. Mainstay of
That song.
Early 2000s much music.
Every Canadian kid of a certain age.
Three, four, whatever. Yeah.
I thought it was even earlier.
I did not really like that song. Neither. Or the members of Swollen. I did not like them. Ryan Katz says he bought tickets to the August 19th Friday Night SmackDown show at the Bell Center. I did too, Ryan Katz. We're going.
In style.
We bought tickets, brother. Woo!
Rolling deep.
We're going. It's going to be a good time watching the down of Smack. We watched the down of Smack, smacking it down tonight. And it was...
Okay.
John, what do you think? I thought it was decent. We had some decent matches. Ronda Rousey wrestling on the show was pretty cool. I like to see Ronda in action. Riddle and Sami Zayn had a pretty good match. You know, Roman's promo was okay at the end. Randy was pretty good at the end. Randy's promo I thought was the best. What did you think of SmackDown tonight, John? You like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, I'd say thumbs up. I mean, it was eventful. I thought it was much better than Raw this week. Raw was, I thought, very dreadful this week, and usually, obviously, it's a struggle to get through, but I'm like, that last hour, I'm like, oof, I really didn't want to watch that whatsoever. SmackDown? Like, not saying it was the greatest show, but at least it was eventful.
Mm-hmm. They seemed a lot focused on storylines and trying to move things forward. lot of backstage segments, you know, guys trying to talk and move storylines forward. I appreciated that. It wasn't just, yep, hey, I don't like you this week, let's go wrestle.
Yeah, things happen. We could talk about Raw a little bit later, but I agree with you, John. I really, like, I watched Raw, but I didn't love it. It took a while for me to get through it. And a lot of it was just kind of nothing. Ciampa and Mustafa Ali, just a bunch of stuff that I don't care about and I don't really understand. I don't understand why it's even happening. Seth and Cody just won't go away. Yeah. Raw wasn't great. I thought SmackDown was pretty good, though. Ronda wrestling is very impressive to me on TV. The fact that she's wrestling on TV, defending the title that she just won on Sunday, that's a pretty big deal. She comes out, cuts a promo, says Charlotte Flair was a 13-time champion, but she's the champion now, and Charlotte's one of the toughest competitors she ever fought, and she wants to be a fighting champion, so open challenge. And then Raquel Rodriguez, formerly Raquel Gonzalez, comes out, and she accepts the challenge, and then they have a match, and it was a pretty damn good match that Ronda wound up winning with a really nice reversal out of a powerbomb into a really sweet pinfall move there that she did. That was really nice grappling by Ronda Rousey to get into that spot and get the win. Really nice stuff from Ronda. Good stuff from Raquel Rodriguez. I think Ronda is best when she's wrestling somebody bigger than her and stronger than her, because the women that are her size or smaller really can't take it. You know, and she's got to be easy on them. But she can be more right, herself, more Ronda, more rough with some of these bigger ladies because they can take it. Because Ronda's only that, you know, so big. Somebody smaller than you hitting you is not going to hurt as bad as somebody bigger than you hitting you, right? So Ronda against a Nia Jax, against a Raquel Rodriguez, I think that's where she shines. I think even against a Rhea Ripley or a Bianca Belair to a certain extent, you know, some of these...
Or Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. Charlotte Flair, a little bigger, but not as big as like a Raquel Rodriguez. Raquel Rodriguez came out. She had a presence. I like Ronda with like the bigger, more muscular women because she can lay her stuff in a little bit better and her matches wind up very good. Also, and this one tonight was very good.
Also, they can pick her up and it like sets up for these interesting spots where either she gets slammed or she comes up with these creative kind of submissions, you know, while she's like up there in a powerbomb and then like, oh, she's kind of transitioning to an armbar.
Yeah.
It allows her to be more creative.
Yeah, it's different when you're the bigger wrestler as opposed to when you're the smaller wrestler. It's a different style match, right? And I think Ronda works better as the smaller wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a challenge. You need what? The adversity.
100%. 100% about that. And just too, like, I find the smaller wrestlers in Ronda, they have to bring it more, right? They have to be more intense, and I feel like no one can really bring that intensity. Where Ronda, if she's facing someone bigger, they can still do that because they can throw around. It makes it seem like Ronda's got to fight from underneath, which is kind of, like, different for Ronda to do. But it's better for her. She's better for fighting from underneath, actually.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think she has to take on a bigger opponent because anybody her size is just not credible. It's just, it's, you know, because she has the technique. Yeah. She has the expertise in real fighting that anybody her size or smaller, you know, clearly doesn't have any kind of skill advantage, so they should lose. But somebody bigger than Ronda, it's like, well, they're bigger, you know?
They should move Doudrop to SmackDown because she's doing nothing on Raw. And she'd probably have a good match with Ronda because she can go in the ring.
Yeah, the drop might
be
all right.
They could probably have a good kind of violent match.
I'd really like Rhea Ripley and Ronda Rousey. I think that'd be money.
Maybe down the line, like a Survivor Series or something, a champion feud versus champion match.
I think a feud there would be really good, but we're not there yet. Well,
to me, if they're going to make this open challenge, like an actual open challenge, it should be anyone from any brand can challenge her. Like it should be absolutely anyone. Maybe even like you have a guy challenge her. Actually,
like who? Drew Gulak?
I'm not saying Sami the guy's going to win whatsoever.
Yeah.
I would think like a Drew Gulak or something like that.
Yeah. He makes sense, but I don't know.
But the movies, they seem iffy on intergender wrestling. Like they'll have mixed tag matches and every now and then, like there'll be a spot, but they don't seem to want to have to like have actual matches.
I kind of wonder if it was a bad move, though, to book this match tonight, considering it was so good, and Raquel is new, and a legit challenge, clearly, for Ronda. She comes in, loses clean on TV, and then we go backstage, and Shotzi Blackheart, or just Shotzi now, or whatever. Is she Blackheart, or just Shotzi?
Just Shotzi.
She lost her.
Shotzi.
She's got a good heart now, so she's just Shotzi. And she's mad at Adam Pearce because she wanted the match, the open challenge match with Ronda. And then Aaliyah shows up and she's like, you locked me in the locker room and that's why I couldn't go and accept the challenge. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? That was dumb. Yeah, it was really dumb. So then they're mad at each other and Adam Pearce is like, deal with it. And I'm like, are we going to have a match? But we didn't. It's just like WWE telling us, well, here are the other potential challengers for Ronda, and I was not impressed with the challenges for Ronda. Past Raquel Rodriguez, now you look at SmackDown, I don't know where you go. I really don't. If it's Shotzi and Aaliyah, I think you probably rush this Raquel Rodriguez thing because she's the most legit challenge. I know, John, whenever I say who's next for who, and you always throw out Xia Li for some reason because you're the only person who seems to see her on TV. Is she on TV still? Does she exist anymore? Xia Li?
She wasn't on this week. I don't think.
I didn't see her this week, but I think definitely they're going to build her up to be a challenger. Because if I'm not mistaken, did they move Lacey Evans to Raw out of nowhere?
I believe they did.
Was she on Raw this week?
Yeah.
She was, right? What did she do? I forget. It was so long ago.
Well, she just did another one of those promos that she does. That's it. But right. It's on Raw now instead of SmackDown.
Yeah.
She's going to challenge Bianca, I guess.
Did they screw up last week with Lacey Evans by sending her out and telling the ring announcer to cheer for her? Was that a mistake? Was that... Because it was one of two things, right? Like I said last week, either they sent Lacey out, told the announcer to tell the fans to cheer Lacey, not thinking that they would see that as a heel move, but just saying, oh yeah, let's cheer Lacey. So she comes out and they're like kind of lukewarm to Lacey. And then maybe they realize after, oh, that was a bad move. We can't just tell the fans to cheer for the person. They're going to turn on this person, right? They do all these like sympathetic promos for Lacey, and then when she's actually introduced in front of the crowd, they're like, Lacey has demanded you cheer for her. And it's like, what the hell is this now? Why is this happening, right? So that happens on SmackDown last week. Then all of a sudden, they shut everything down and they just do another one of the sympathetic promos, except now it's on Raw, and they don't do the like cheer for Lacey thing. And Lacey's not actually in the building. It's just like back to square one with this Lacey thing. Let's reboot it and start it on Raw. Because they screwed up last week on SmackDown and they decided to restart it on another show thinking we wouldn't remember that one moment. Is that what happened? Like, I really don't understand what the hell is going on. Because I've watched a lot of WWE over the past, you know, lifetime. 30 plus years, right? And I've seen them screw things up and then just kind of try and erase it and reboot a few times. It happens.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's what happened with Lacey. But if it did, the incompetence and idiocy of whoever told the ring announcer to say, Lacey's demanded you cheer for her. Like, whose idea was that? Who is the dumbass that was like, oh, we're going to tell the ring announcer to tell them to cheer for Lacey. That'll work. They'll love her if she does it. Like, if that was a botch, a screw-up last week, who is the moron that screwed that up? How stupid do you have to be to not realize that when you tell the ring announcer that Lacey demands you cheer for her, the crowd's going to be like, yeah, screw you.
Yeah.
Who is the idiot?
Response.
Who's the idiot that doesn't realize that? I don't want to believe that the WWE is completely incompetent and run by morons. But when things like this happen, it makes me wonder, like, man, are they that stupid? Maybe it was just stupid.
It's also possible they thought, and like at the production meeting for SmackDown, okay, Lacey's a heel. She's going to be a person who says, I've had really bad things happen to me. Therefore, you should pity me and cheer for me.
Yeah.
And people are going to hate that. And then maybe they thought, you know, maybe that's not a great look for like a character on TV.
Maybe they got
someone
backlash.
Who says, hey, my dad kicked me out. And everyone goes, that's right, screw you. You know, like maybe that's not the best, you know, look. And it was because she got kicked out because she was pregnant, right? Was that it? She said like in one of her promos? Like,
Yeah.
So like, yeah, maybe that's not the best character to have as your main bad guy as the reason why, you know, someone who weaponizes their grief.
Yeah.
It's like not a great like look. And it just like it feels weird. Must be like weird to write, you know.
But
so there's like, OK, let's just make it, you know, she's not weaponizing it. It's just we sympathize.
But I don't know what they're doing now because now she's on Raw and who knows where they're going. John, was this a screw up by the WWE and they're rebooting on Raw? Or have they just decided, well, she fits better on Raw. We have more ideas for her on this show.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like, I don't know about you, like when she came out and the way like the commentators were reacting, it's like this was supposed to be a positive reaction.
Right.
But okay. Demanding that she be cheered, that's never a good idea, and that was just awkward.
I mean,
wouldn't you fire the person that thought of that? You know what I mean?
I mean, we were witnesses to something like that once. Way back in, I believe, the year 2002 or 3, there was a Raw in Montreal. Randy Orton came out, and he said he had a torn shoulder or something, some kind of torn muscle.
Yeah.
And he was going to be out, and if you want to like leave a message or something. Or no, not even. That was later. It was meant to be just, I have to be out for like a bit, but I'm going to miss you fans. I love you. And we in Montreal chatted, na, 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 hey, goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
And they did not expect that reaction. They thought people were going to be like, oh, we're going to miss Randy.
We're like, yeah, get out of here, Randy.
Yeah,
you
white meat baby face.
Yeah.
And because of that, they started airing week to week, Randy giving an update and like being super over like melodramatic.
To try and get the sympathy.
No, no, no. To build a heel character instead.
Oh.
To build like a cocky guy who's like, oh, you should feel bad for me kind of thing. So
was it because of the Montreal crowd? John, I don't
remember
this.
Because the Montreal crowd gave a Bizarro World reaction.
Rings the bell.
Yeah, and I think they mentioned this on the Ruthless Aggression episode on Randy. He's like, yeah, that Montreal crowd, they really changed the trajectory for my character.
Wow.
Because he was like in like those blue trunks and like, you know,
yeah,
wrestling Bob Holly or being Bob Holly's friend or something and like stuff like
and
that.
And you're supposed to feel bad for him, but...
And then, yeah, because he wasn't with Evolution or anything like that. It wasn't the Legend Killer or anything like that.
Yeah.
He was just Randy Orton. And then he came out and was like, I'm going to miss you guys. And we're like, yeah, screw you. And then they're like, okay, so then maybe Randy's a guy who's like kind of cocky.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe they're thinking that will happen for Lacey. Or they haven't learned their lesson. They're like, oh, no, this works. Someone coming out and saying all the hardships and the fans still treat them the same way. Like we did in Montreal to Randy. They do wherever they did to Lacey. It's just the same reaction. You know, wrestling fans get told, you know, feel bad for me, no matter what the circumstance. The people and wrestling fans are conditioned to be like,
it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't.
I got
think
two
so.
Words for you.
Yeah, I don't think that works. I don't think it works for wrestling fans to demand to be cheered and demand to be felt bad for. But I really thought that this was just a sympathetic Lacey thing, and the fact that they're using her real life trauma as a way to make you hate her is kind of messed up. If that's really what they're doing, like, because that is the real life story of Lacey Evans or whatever her real name is. And the fact that they're using that as a way to make you not like her seems backwards. But the WWE does backwards things all the time. Mm-hmm.
I could see Vince being gung-ho about it 1 week and then next week being like, you know,
And I thought Lacey was going to be on SmackDown, maybe as a heel, maybe as a babyface, whatever, as a potential challenge for Ronda Rousey. But I guess they're moving her over to Raw for no apparent reason. Maybe to face Bianca Belair. I don't know. It's not like Raw doesn't have enough top women's wrestlers. They've got Bianca. They've got Rhea.
Becky.
They've got Becky. They've got Asuka.
Liv.
Liv even is doing... Liv's doing pretty good.
Yeah, she's over.
Like, Liv is a lot better now than she's ever been, and she's, you know, which I think is saying something. She's improving steadily. She's not the greatest wrestler I've ever seen, but I think that Liv Morgan is a lot better now than she was a year ago.
Or with the Riot Squad.
Like, she's not my favorite wrestler, and I don't think she's particularly great. Like, she's no Asuka or Becky or whatever, but, like, you can tell she's trying. you know? And she's not bad. Like, she's getting to be at a point where it's like, yeah, Liv's all right. Right?
Six nasty bumps.
I wasn't a huge fan of the setup to that match with Rhea when they had the House of Edge to the promo, and then she comes out, and then she lost that match. That match was not particularly a good highlight for her.
No, I don't like this House of Edge stuff, though, either. None of that was good.
That was
good.
A bad promo.
And then you continued the segment with the Damian Priest versus Finn Balor match that just ended in a DQ when Edge came out and just attacked Finn. Not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of, like, one story or one group taking up, like, 40 minutes of a show. It's just like, all right, dude, I get the point. We don't need to see two matches in a row of this group. We don't need to see Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest wrestle back-to-back on Raw. It's like, okay, here's Edge's time of Raw. Why? If it was, you know, good, maybe, but it's just not good, you know?
They used to do that with The Shield. You know, it'd be like they all come out, and then Ambrose have a match, and then, like, someone else would come out, and then Reigns would have a match, or Reigns and Rollins have a tag match.
It just drags, you know? It's just like, all right, I'm cool with this story. What else is on this show? Who else? You know, because a lot of times you might not be interested in this one particular group or feud or person, and you want to see who else is on the show, but they don't give you that. You're just kind of stuck in this sludge of House of Edge. Took up a lot of time, right? It's just, like, boring.
Raw was tough this week. It was tough to get through, without question.
Tougher than
even one of the worst endings to Raw, too. What a horrible ending.
Yeah, the main event was a DQ, right?
Bianca. Well, that, too. I mean, every match was practically a DQ, but the main event was Bianca and, I think, Asuka.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it wasn't terrible. Bianca and Asuka, you didn't like it?
It was like, what, 4 minutes?
Yeah, what it was, you know, whatever.
But you just end on DQ and then show's over.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't much of a main event. Like, it was kind of forgettable, you know? Like, I remember it. I remember it being, like, okay. But it was pretty short. Now that you mention it, it was a pretty short match.
You think Asuka is ready?
I was tuned out from Raw at that point.
See what I did there?
No one is ready for Asuka. I don't know who Asuka and what? Bianca? It doesn't make sense. Asuka's a babyface. It's Asuka and Becky now, I think, because Becky's, like, causing disqualifications. Maybe Asuka, Becky, Bianca, triple threat at Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, or do a number of contenders match. You just do Becky and Asuka. Like, the winner faces Bianca, possibly.
That's two straight pay-per-views without Bianca.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think June 5th isn't really a big deal. Hell in a Cell, they're already talking about Money in the Bank, so this is kind of just a pit stop.
Yeah, but two straight That's pay-per-views sad. Without Bianca defending the belt? I think she should defend the belt at Hell in a Cell. I think it should be a triple threat.
In a cell?
Because Asuka was looking for a title match, you know? Asuka was having a title match with Bianca, and she got screwed out of it. So give her a title match at the pay-per-view. I think triple threat makes a lot of sense. Bianca and Becky still have, you know, their thing. Asuka and Becky have a thing. Now Asuka and Bianca have a thing going on. Triple threat for the belt at Hell in a Cell, I think, would be best case scenario. Unless you're saving it for Money in the Bank, but I don't think you need to. Just give me the triple threat there and maybe do Bianca versus Asuka one-on-one at, or Becky versus Asuka one-on-one at Money in the Bank. I don't know. No, probably Bianca versus somebody. Asuka maybe at Money in the Bank, and Becky will be in Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe Becky and Charlotte Money in the Bank could happen.
Ooh, I don't know. Charlotte's going to be out for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. She's not really hurt. She's just taking some time off. Her arm isn't really broken.
They're getting married.
Yeah, I think she's getting married to Andrade. I don't think her arm is actually broken. She's all right. But she's no longer the SmackDown champion. Yeah, hopefully she'll be back by Money in the Bank, but I don't know. I don't know. What else happened on Raw tonight? The Sami Zayn stuff. A lot of Sami Zayn stuff. RK-Bro cuts a promo about Roman Reigns and the Usos. Sami Zayn shows up, tells him to leave SmackDown, go back to Raw, stop disrespecting the Bloodline. Don't forget what happened. Last guy disrespected the Bloodline. Shinsuke Nakamura, I beat him last week. And then Randy's like, how about we have a match, you versus Riddle? And if Riddle wins, we get a tag team title match. And Sammy's like, oh, I don't know about all that, but maybe we'll have a match, but not tonight. And then Adam Pearce is like, yeah, there's a match, and it starts now. Was this a... Did they get the stipulation across here? I wasn't sure.
I think Adam Pearce said that he's not sure about all that Bloodline stuff.
Okay.
So that kind of like declined all the they'll get a match. Okay. I think they set up for next week anyways, right? By the end of the show?
Yeah, by the end of the show. But at this point, it was not clear if this match was for a tag title shot or not or whatever. But anyways, Riddle
wound up... I don't think it was.
No. Riddle wound up beating Sami Zayn. It was a pretty good match. I liked it.
It was all right. It wasn't, amazing, but it was fine.
No. Why is Sammy wrestling in a t-shirt?
For some reason, he really wanted to put over the whole, like, he's working for the Bloodline, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess by wearing the t-shirt, that really helps do it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe, he just didn't have a good workout at the gym, I guess, this week, possibly.
So he loses to Riddle, and then he goes backstage to Heyman later on, and he's like, I want to make sure that you guys are working with me, and we can work together and all this stuff. And Heyman's like, yeah, okay, Sammy, What's the deal there with Sammy and the Bloodline? Like, what do you think is the end game?
I think it's just to push his character, that he's that little crafty little guy who's always trying to get someone to help him out, because he's just always trying to cause problems for everybody. That's pretty much it. It's just him having some sway with the top villain, because he's not the top villain, but he wants to be.
I feel like eventually Sammy will do so much for the Bloodline that the fans will want them to help him. Mm-hmm. And when they don't,
really,
he'll turn babyface.
Wow. I'm not seeing that right now, but okay.
I think down the road, because he's a likable character, Sami Zayn. I think the fans like him. Like, he's funny.
Really?
He's entertaining. I think people generally are entertaining. Yeah, they did call him Rusty. But, like, who the hell? I mean, come on. If you're in the arena and Riddle's like, hey, man, I'm going to call you Rusty because your hair's the color of rust, dude. Rusty, and then the fans start saying,
repeat himself.
Yeah, and then the fans start chanting Rusty. Like, if you're a fan that's chanting Rusty in that arena after Riddle says that, like, what is going on with you? What's happening? We gotta have a talk, or maybe not. Like, yeah. Who is the person chanting Rusty? You know what I mean?
They're
like,
out there.
It's just weird.
You know, it's like when people chanted, "You look stupid," at Sheamus every time he showed up. It was like, okay, fine. Like,
yeah, it's
do you
corny.
Need to keep going.
You think people are going to chant Rusty at Sammy next week, John? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to continue for a little bit.
Stick? Oh, my God. I hope not. I think that would be ridiculous. I can't believe they did it tonight. I can't believe they were that into it, that they chanted Rusty in old Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania tonight. Hot crowd in Wilkes-Barre. SmackDown is not going to be in the big markets over the next few weeks, just to let you know. Wilkes-Barre tonight. Grand Rapids, Michigan next week.
Ooh.
Little Rock, Arkansas the following week.
That's the capital city.
And then Columbus, Ohio on the 3rd of June.
That's also the capital city.
There you go. But, of states that aren't really that. It's not like they're in Chicago or New York or
Miami.
Well, we'll be back in Boston soon enough.
Oh, yeah?
They always come back to Boston, Long Island.
Do you know
something
I don't
Long
know?
Island,
what are you talking about?
See, yeah, coming back?
They were in Long Island like last week or the week before, but they actually don't have any dates in Boston anytime soon. Hell in a Cell is in Chicago, though. So that'll
Chicago,
be a...
There you go.
Everything.
Chicago gets everything. Yeah.
It's incredible.
They get tons of pay-per-views. It's pretty sweet.
I mean, it's also a good airport hub, I guess, so it helps people fly in.
It's also a pretty awesome city. Like, I don't know, Chicago's
sure,
one
I've
of
never
the...
never been.
Chicago's one of the... biggest cities in the world. So, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. Right? You think about the biggest cities in, the United States. Uh-huh. Chicago's kind of up there.
That's the second city.
Yeah.
You went to a White Sox game?
They might be the third, though. If we're being
honest.
New York, L.A., Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good city. Yeah, I went to a White Sox game. It's pretty good.
It's pretty cool.
I like Chicago. Pizza was good. City was nice. I liked it.
Yeah, pizza's fantastic.
Yeah. My kind of town.
I like
Chicago. I like it. Okay.
Me wearing a Cubs shirt.
There you go. The Bloodline cuts an in-ring promo at the end of the night to address everything. Roman Reigns, I thought, delivered a perfect promo for what he needed to do. Roman says, we smash him on Sunday, come out on Friday to tell y'all what's next. We smash John Cena, smash Brock Lesnar, came out on Friday, tell you what's next. There's nobody left now. They smashed everybody. But the Usos have something next because they have a challenge for their titles. Here comes Randy Orton. Here comes Riddle. It's RK-Bro. That's their cue. Randy shows up, grabs the mic, and before he says anything, he says, oh, you mentioned John Cena. John Cena's 10 times the superstar that you'll ever be, and says it right in his face, like really gets in his face and says it. I don't think that was written for him. At all. The promo from Randy Orton tonight was really, really interesting. Riddle, you know, does his thing. Hey, man, let's have a match, dude. Tag team unification titles, man. And Randy's like, when we win the WWE, it'll tag team titles. They'll be called the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. And Roman's kind of laughing at Randy. And then Randy goes, oh, hey, I just noticed I'm way taller than you. Just like taking jabs at Roman.
Mm-hmm. A lot of side bars.
Yeah, side bars that are not written for him. The way taller than you crack and the John Cena's 10 times the superstar that you'll ever be. That felt real. The Usos accept the match eventually. Says they say they'll do it next week. Then Riddle throws a flying knee at Roman that looked pretty good. Looked pretty solid. Hit Roman. Riddle and Randy leave the ring. Roman kind of stands there. Show over. Match next week for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. I don't think we'll have a finish. I don't think we'll have double champs next week. I think it's a whole bait and switch. And we'll get screwed out of it. And it sucks. But Randy, let's talk about Randy for a second. Pew, pew, pew. I believe that Randy Orton does not like Roman Reigns. I have seen some interviews with Randy Orton where Roman Reigns is mentioned, and Randy doesn't have nice things to say about Roman. He doesn't have bad things to say about Roman. You've obviously not heard Randy Orton say negative things publicly about Roman Reigns. But you will also not hear Randy Orton shower him with praise.
Like a lot of people do.
And I have heard Randy being asked about Roman a few times. And I've seen just a couple interviews. And John, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I could send you some clips later. But it's just when Roman is mentioned, Randy acts a certain way and talks a certain way about him that makes you think,
bad blood there.
I don't know if they like each other that much. I don't know how much Randy likes Roman. And Riddle, who's Randy's good friend and tag team partner, like Randy and Riddle seem legit close now. They seem like they're actually friends and there's a real partnership there.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen them interviewed a few times together, and it seemed like they really like each other, and Randy has said, you know, like, it may not seem like we have a lot in common, but as real guys, like, we have a lot in common, and we're very similar. Thank you, Harold, for the super chat with the ice cream cone emoji. Appreciate it. Wish I had an ice cream cone right now.
Oh, yeah. No, but the comedic timing got better, too. Like, when Riddle was telling that joke with the laptop and the thing, Randy came in at the right time.
They're better together. They're friends. They like each other. All this to say is that Riddle has said some things about Roman Reigns publicly that he had been reprimanded for. He said some things like, you know, tribal chief, whatever, not impressed. If it was a real fight, I would destroy him. Stuff like that. You remember that, John, when Riddle said some things about Roman in an interview that he was not supposed to say, and he got in trouble for it because you can't say that stuff about Roman Reigns? And I think that there was, I think that there is some residual heat. And if you remember last week, John, I told you that the Bloodline would win at Backlash, even though you thought that the other guys would for some reason. And I also told you that...
Yeah, you thought Baron Corbin was going to win, so...
Oh, okay. He didn't win? I don't even remember.
No,
Moss didn't win.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, Joe. We can't always get them right. You know, you get them right sometimes, I get them right sometimes.
Mad
whatever.
Crap.
But it just never bet against a tribal chief. You know what I mean? He's just, he's the tribal chief. He's always going to win. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth. That's the truth, yeah.
It's just how
WWE
books.
Doesn't make
books.
Sense.
Yeah. But you notice he speared and pinned Riddle to win that match.
Yep.
Riddle. And I said he'd beat Riddle. I said Riddle would take the fall from the tribal chief just to prove a point. I think that there is heat there between Riddle and Roman. And because of that, there's heat between Randy and Roman. And those cracks that Randy was making tonight, those cracks that he was making, those were real. Man, I just noticed I'm way taller than you. What? You're just going to say that just kind of as a sidebar?
Out of nowhere.
John Cena is 10 times the superstar you will ever be. Just going to start your... like that had nothing really to do with anything. It's just like, hey, you said John Cena's name. Let me say that you're nothing compared to John Cena.
It kind of reminded me of Cena's promo on Roman from a couple years ago, you know, where Cena, you know.
But that, okay, when Cena did that, he was supposed to do that.
Yeah.
That was a promo he was supposed to cut. That was what he was planning to do. That was the storyline that they were telling. That is not this. This is Randy just saying, I'm Randy. What are you going to do? I'm going to say this stuff. Deal with it. And it was fantastic. It was the best part of SmackDown. Those two lines from Randy Orton, my favorite part of SmackDown. What did you think, John, when Randy started... when Randy comes into the ring, John Cena is 10 times the superstar you'll ever be. Keep his name out of your mouth.
Well, to me, it was that whole, like, hey, I just noticed I'm taller than you. Like, that's something where it's like, regardless that it's factual, you don't point that out when it's the world champion that you're talking to. Like, say that you're taller than the world champion, they don't like that being mentioned whatsoever. So the fact that he said that, yikes.
Crazy, right?
I can get you in trouble. If it wasn't Randy Orton, that would probably get him in a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but it is Randy Orton, and they can't do anything, and that's why he did it. Because he's Randy. And I love it.
He big-dicked him.
Huh?
He big-dicked him.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, you're the tribal chief. Well, I'm Randy Orton.
I'm taller than you.
I'm taller than you. I've been there. I've done that. I don't care. What are you going to do? And, you know, I know that they seem to be pushing this Drew McIntyre-Roman Reigns thing, but I'll say it again. Randy and Roman is the money match.
Mm-hmm. SummerSlam.
That is the money match. The promos that they could do, I think, would be serious. I think if you just let Randy say what he feels and you let Roman say what he feels, I think you could have some good, good business. I mean, they might get real mad at each other, but who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Especially at this point in both of their careers.
They need it. Let's entertain the crowd. Let's give them something. And Randy can lose to Roman. It is what it is. But if Roman really is like leaving for the summer, right? There's rumors of Roman leaving for a few months in the summertime and coming back in September or something, right? You heard that rumor. Different people are saying it. Some people are saying it's not true.
What I read was that he's not going to be doing live events, which makes sense. I mean, if, you know, Brock doesn't do live events, why should he, you know? Wow. I mean, Ronda does rarely live events, you know? Like, Roman, like, he works... if he's going to work Raw and SmackDown, it makes sense. And, like, why should he work Hell in a Cell? Like, they don't seem to care about it. I mean, just work the stadium shows. Those are more important.
Why even do SmackDown house shows if you don't have your two main champions? What do you sell that house show on if over the summer?
Yeah, it's tough to do if you're the double champ. To disappear and you're the champion, double champion, it's tough.
Have you seen what they have listed?
For what?
Well, like for like the Ottawa house show, the main event, it's Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn.
Oh.
That's rough.
That is
the main event.
How is that a main event?
Co-main event, fine, because Sammy's in Canada, so okay.
Is Ronda on the show?
As of right now, I don't believe so.
Probably not Charlotte either.
When is this house show?
I want to say, is it the 20th? I think it's the day after Montreal, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, in August. Wow, that is rough. Yeah. I wonder what we'll get here for a live SmackDown taping. I wonder what we get for TV. Is Roman going to still do TV?
Supposedly, yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. So we'll get Roman.
Probably
who cares?
Ronda.
Yeah, Ronda and Roman and all of that. You know, we'll see what happens with Roman. I don't really buy him disappearing for any kind of stretch. But if he is disappearing and they're taking the belt off of Roman, I'd put it on Randy for a bit. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think keep the belt on Roman, of course, till WrestleMania. And then pass that after he beats his cousin Dwayne. But I think Roman and Randy would be a really nice feud. And the stuff that Randy said about Roman tonight was real interesting. A highlight of SmackDown for sure. Have you ever picked up on any of that kind of Randy-Roman dislike for one another?
Well, I felt maybe there was dislike for some people like against the Shield. I felt like maybe there was resentment because they kind of came in there out of nowhere, got super push, where they didn't really prove themselves, but they were wrestling the main events like right away when they started. Mm-hmm. So, and if you noticed, Roman Reigns was the least experienced out of all of them. Like, didn't look like he belonged there the most.
Do you guys
so
remember?
So I could understand.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Finish, John. Sorry. No, John, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention, I remember there was like 6-man tag. It was a pay-per-view. It was right before WrestleMania. I remember it was like Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback, I think.
I was going to
bring
this
Roman,
up.
Oh, okay, yeah. Just Roman
go ahead,
completely
John.
Lost.
Yeah, he
Roman
didn't
just
jump.
Got completely lost in his spot with John Cena.
He didn't jump for a suplex. Like Cena's suplex where he throws you into the corner and does like this. That's like one of Cena's like signature spots. And Roman just didn't jump and like it flopped like a fish.
But he just wasn't experienced. Like, if you remember correctly, like I don't think he had a singles match until like a year afterwards, like right before the WrestleMania, right? So
yeah.
Pushed
well,
too soon.
They threw it, you know, they threw him into the deep end right away. And eventually he figured it out. It just took him a while. And, you know, at the time was kind of like, why is this guy the top guy? He's not very good. But now he's pretty good because he's figured out how to be the top guy. It's working now. I think it's finally working now. I think it took a long time for it to really work. But now it's working pretty well, what Roman is doing. I think it's working pretty well. The character he's got down is pretty good. I just think that he's better with a strong opponent, and I don't think Drew McIntyre is that strong. Wasn't even on the show tonight, and nobody missed him.
No, but SmackDown goes by quick, so it's fine the way that's set up. Like, you don't need to be on every week kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Drew, you know, like, besides wrestling Roman, what's he really doing? Not much.
Well, that's it. That's why he's, like, not a very interesting character. So to put him against Roman Reigns, who's, like, the star of the show, it's kind of like, well, who's this guy? Mm-hmm. What chance does he really have?
He's got a sword.
He's not believable. He's the guy with the sword. He looks good. He looks amazing, you know? He's a very intimidating-looking guy. He's gigantic. But, you know, past that, it's not too much there. Like, Madcap Moss looks great, but I don't want to see him on TV. He did a promo
they took him
tonight.
Out, so.
Yeah, long promo.
Yeah. Did they take him out, though? Was that it? Like, because Corbin attacked him, hit him with a steel chair after Moss's terrible promo. And then he put the chair around Mad Crap's neck. And then he smashed the chair and the neck with the Andre trophy. So Madcap got stretchered out, and now Mad Crap is dead. Rest in peace, Mad Crap Moss.
See, there you go. There they go again. They tried to generate sympathy. You know, they did the whole somber announcers, and they brought the EMTs.
I don't understand. Mad Crap Moss. This guy, Mad Crap, he's still the same character as he was when he was a bad guy, but now he's supposed to be a good guy. The only difference is he's not with Baron Corbin, but he's still like an annoying dick who has shitty jokes. I don't get it. And then when he got stretchered out, nobody really felt bad for him. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever. What's next? I don't like it. Looks amazing, but I really don't care for anything that they do. Naomi and Sasha Banks beat Natalia and Shayna to retain the women's tag team titles. Talk about potential opponents for Ronda Rousey. Maybe Shayna breaks away from the tag team stuff and does a program with Ronda as a heel. She's believable.
Mm-hmm.
She's on SmackDown.
Maybe some good promos.
You know, because now I think the women's tag team title hunt is over with her and Natty. They had the match. They lost. And next, right?
Unless, you know, they do the endless rematches, which they always love to do. So that's very well possible.
I don't need it, though. I didn't love the match.
I didn't love it either, but they love to just keep redoing matches over and over again. So I wouldn't be surprised. Just because, again, there's a lack of competition, I think, in the tag division for the women.
Who would even be the next challengers? Are there other tag teams?
Maybe Shotzi and Aaliyah will join forces. You know?
Didn't seem like it.
From enemies to friends.
It would have to be a makeshift team like that, I think. Or you put Carmella and Zelina together again.
Yeah, since they lost the belts and broke up, they've both disappeared. Well, Carmella, no, she, Corey Graves is back, right? I thought she was on a honeymoon or something, but Corey Graves is back.
They were.
Yeah, maybe Carmella's still on the honeymoon. She's like, yeah, Corey, you go.
That makes sense.
Chill in Hawaii or whatever.
But, like, what happened to Carmella and Zelina? They disappeared. Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. got a match on Raw this week against Naomi and Sasha. They were a tag team, but they got their first match as a team was against the champions, and they lost. So, not a lot of hope there.
It's not a bad idea for a team, though.
No, it's a good idea for a team.
Scottish
they're just
ladies,
like
ladies. They're kind of tough.
Let's put them together in their first match against the other team that we have, who happen to be the champions, and they'll lose. So, you know, where do you go from there after losing? You're supposed to build challengers, not just have a team, make them face the champions, lose, and then just whatever. But that's what they're doing. Natty and Shayna seem like a team, but I think this was maybe their not like they hadn't had that many matches as a team before this.
No.
And they lose. Yeah, it's not a great division. Never has been. Maybe never will be. Not a lot of tag teams in WWE.
It was once. It just things happened. You know, like Bayley and Sasha weren't a tag team. Or the Iconics left.
But like who?
And they split them up. There's a couple other teams.
You just have to put a team together, though. You know what I mean? Like you just have to find a team and be like, these two, I guess.
Brooke. Putting together... I was
Dana
just going to say
and
that.
Tamina?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They also had the
Are they putting them together?
The Kabuki Warriors, they were a team
it,
once.
It feels like it. If you saw Raw, like the way that went together.
It makes sense. Who's the 24/7 champion?
I can see it happen.
Is it Reginald?
I think it's still Dana.
Still Dana. Can she be double champ? You know, maybe... Butch beat Kofi Kingston tonight after a distraction from Sheamus and Ridge Holland. They attacked Xavier Woods outside the ring. Kofi got distracted, got hit with a finish, 1-2-3. And then Butch just ran away from his tag team partners, escaping through the crowd. And Sheamus and Ridge seemed like distraught by this. I don't get it. Butch has rabies. He's crazy. I don't understand.
He runs off. He's feral.
He runs off. He's Hornswoggle. Yeah. What is going on? This is not how human beings act. No human being runs away after, like, what?
You got to stop using, like, sense and logic with wrestling. Like, a lot of what these guys do and say doesn't make a lot of sense. A lot of these humans wouldn't say these things if they were actual people, but they say these things anyways.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one in their right mind or even in their wrong mind would speak the way Edge speaks on TV. Like, the shit that he says is like, what? What written crap are you spewing out right now? This is terrible. This is reciting lines. Oh, God. It's bad out here, champ. It is bad. Alexa Bliss came back, and she got a win over Sonny Deville. And it was a pretty quick match. And she's back. She seems to be, like, more babyface-ish. I think she dropped the fiendish stuff. She still came out with the doll, but the theme music was less, like, mean and demonic type of thing, you know? I think Alexa's slowly going back to kind of the cute, nice Alexa Bliss, you know? Moment of bliss, Alexa Bliss.
Well, I think it's more of a almost like a reboot as well, where it's like, well, that happened. It's been a while. You guys kind of forgot about it for a bit. You know, we'll just bring her back and just go from there. And then we'll start something new with her, probably. She can keep the doll because that sells money.
Yeah.
So
that's it. You make money and keep the doll. The thing I really wanted to see on Raw when it was announced was Cody Rhodes versus Austin Theory for the U.S. title. I said, okay, well, here, Cody Rhodes wrestling for a championship. Austin Theory has been on a tear. How do you get out of this one? And stupidly, I thought, oh, maybe they'll do something here. I don't know why I was that stupid to think, you know, this could be good and I might get an actual finish. Stupid me. Of course, Seth Rollins comes in and just attacks Cody, disqualification, da-da-da. I mean, that's why Raw sucked, because it was just kind of like, oh, you remember Backlash? Yeah, it was last night. Yeah, well, we're going to do some stuff that kind of has to do with Backlash. Like, you know, Cody is going to keep feuding with Seth Rollins and other shit. Edge and is still with against AJ Styles and Finn Balor and those guys. Like, it's just Omos and Bobby Lashley are still feuding for some reason, and they're going to have, like, a steel cage match next week, and they took forever to get through that. I think we even saw a match at one point. Did we have a match? Maybe not.
We had a confrontation.
Yeah. And then the Kevin Owens and Ezekiel stuff seems not as bad when you compare it to everything else happening on the show. You know what I mean?
Just saying something.
Like Ken Owens coming out with the wig and stuff. I thought that was, you know, mildly amusing. I don't know.
Mildly. I mean, yes, it wasn't the worst thing.
No. I like Kevin Owens with the Alpha Academy. I like that.
Yeah, him with Gable's good.
Mm-hmm. Him and Gable do have very good comedic chemistry. It's good. But other than that, you know, it's just kind of a silly thing. And Elias is now Ezekiel. I just don't care. It's like, yeah, all right, fine. He's Ezekiel now. They want to call him Ezekiel. It's
younger
a dumb
brother.
Gimmick. He's the younger brother of Elias. Like, who cares?
I don't understand that, the younger brother. Shouldn't he be the older brother?
Because time has passed since we've seen him. Yeah, but he shaved his beard, so he's younger. You know that. If you have the beard, people think you're younger. Or you're older.
It's true.
People think you're the older brother when I am, only because you have a beard and you're taller. I think Ezekiel is a bit taller than Elias, though.
He's got lifts in his boots.
No, it's just a different guy. It's his brother. I'm just going to accept it. All right? He's a brother, and it's fine. And I don't care. Like, it's stupid. It's dumb. And then Kevin Owens is playing along. And I don't know how long this is going to go for. But I just, whatever. It has no consequence. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just some dumb comedy shit they're doing on Raw right now. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's filling time. It's fluff. Something did happen on Raw. Ciampa and Mustafa Ali. All that stuff going on with The Miz. Like, why is The Miz with Ciampa now? Are they, like, friends? Miz and Ciampa? It seems like a weird pairing. Why?
I think it just happened to work out that way. I don't think it was actual, like, their team or anything. It's just everyone hates Ali, so that's just the way it worked out.
Is that the new name of Raw? Everyone hates Ali. Man. So that was Raw. I thought Dynamite was the best wrestling show this week.
Uh-huh.
SmackDown was all right, but I thought Dynamite killed it. You know, like last week I was kind of down on AEW and Dynamite because the show last week was so bad. But man, did they ever come back this week. Tremendous matches.
Well, I think mainly because of that main event, Darby Allin and Jeff Hardy, like that more than delivered, I think.
Yeah, It was really good. It was really crazy. That Darby Allin off the ladder onto Jeff through the chairs.
Chairs.
Was insane.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was broken in half. By God, that man has a family. You know, it was crazy.
And then he immediately followed it up with the coffin drop on the apron.
Yeah.
And really, that spot's the spot where we're like, we cringe and we fear for his safety. But he just... You know, we're still reacting to that. To that, they're still showing the replays.
Yeah, I just throw it in there.
Yeah, just let me just do this. And then Jeff's like, "Okay, I guess I gotta take one too." And then he goes onto the stairs. On the stairs are put on their side, and he does a swanton on there.
Oh man, that was crazy too. Jeff didn't take too much. That swanton was pretty nuts though on the stairs. But just Darby, how does he do it? Some guys just know how to fall, you know, and Darby knows how to fall. Tremendous. Tremendous main event, and Jeff getting the win over Darby, a bit of a surprise, I gotta say. I thought Darby was gonna win, right? Didn't you think Darby was gonna win too?
I thought so. I thought it would be the other way, where it'd be like a kind of pin and then a roll up, but Darby would get it. But Jeff got it, and it made sense too with the roll up. Like when he rolled up out of the finish, he kind of had the ladder to pin him as well. If you think about it, like it was hard to kick out because the ladder was in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked really well. I don't know if they intended to do the pin right with the ladder there, but it was a happy accident if it was an accident, right? Like, it worked out really well. It was a really fun match.
A good TV match, too. Like, people be like, oh, they gave that away. That should have been pay-per-view. Like, I get it could be a pay-per-view match, but that match, the way it was better as a TV match.
And it's the match that you'd expect between Darby and Jeff on TV, first ever match. Like, you say Darby Allin, Jeff Hardy, if you have any idea who those two guys are, that was the match that you were hoping to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they delivered. Yeah. They gave you something that you thought, oh, my God. Like, you expected it to be crazy, and it was slightly crazier than you expected.
100%,
because every time Darby Allin goes out there, it's like, oh, my God. And, you know, Jeff has to do something in there, too, because he's, you know, Brother Nero. He's got to do that. He's got a spot monkey addiction. But this Darby Allin, you know, every time, and it's a big moment for him. He's wrestling a hero of his, Jeff Hardy. It was something, you know, and you knew that it was going to be something. I knew when they announced it, it was going to be a hell of a match. It main evented the show. It's in the first round of the Owen Hart tournament. And Jeff Hardy wins, which is a bit of a surprise, but I'm cool with it. Jeff Hardy might be the only guy in this tournament that actually knew Owen Hart. Right?
Well, who wrestled him, that's for sure.
Jeff wrestled him? Yeah, that makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. I was like, on, like, Sunday Night Heat?
Something or, like that, yeah.
Or even, like, a dark match, like, not even for a show, like, before Raw.
I felt that him and Jeff, when he teamed with Jeff Jarrett, I thought they wrestled the Hardys at one point.
Was this before they were managed by Michael Hayes? Or
I don't know if they were managed by Hayes at the time, but I feel like it was on like a Metal or like something like that. Like a Heat or like you said, something like that. But I feel like they wrestled the Hardys at one point.
It definitely rings a bell.
Well, that's, you know, pretty impressive though, the fact that he wrestled Owen Hart. You know, like he's the only guy that wrestled Owen Hart. Yeah. For
well,
sure.
That we
and
know.
Goldust was in the tournament.
We don't know who the Joker is yet.
If he was still in the tournament, he would have been one too.
Yeah, but he's not. That's what I'm saying.
He's not.
Right?
Yeah.
But Jeff Hardy advances, and he will face Adam Cole in the next round because Adam Cole, the baby, beat Dax Harwood in the opening match of Dynamite this week, which I thought was another excellent match. I thought that that was really good. And I really enjoyed Adam Cole and Dax Harwood trading sharpshooters and Cole applying the sharpshooter on Dax for the win and the submission. I like that quite a bit.
That was good.
Owen Hart tournament, they're paying tribute. The match was really good. And Cole advances, which doesn't really surprise me. Cole and Jeff Hardy will be fun in the next round. I think Cole probably wins. But I like Cole and Dax, too. I thought that was a really good match. Like, the whole show had just good match after good match. Really solid wrestling on the show this week.
This was probably more well put together. I don't know what happened last week, but this seemed more structured, and it just seemed like it had a good pace from start to finish this time around.
You like Dax Dax and the baby, the Cole baby.
Yeah, well, Adam Cole's always a good start to the show, I think, for the most part. Like, it's good to have someone like Dax, who's like just building up his baby face, so to get heat on him, it worked really well. And yeah, of course, I love the whole sharpshooter finish.
Mm-hmm.
That works really well. You saw Owen's family as well. You saw Martha. I don't know if you guys saw the photos, but his whole family was there. Like, his kids were there.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's the first time they've been to a wrestling show since, like, you know, 99.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a big deal. You know, to pay tribute to the Hearts and the Sharpshooter and all of that in that match, I think was a classy move. I like that they're doing something for the memory of Owen Hart. And I especially like that this tournament has finally started.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, you know, now that the tournament has begun, I would like them to explain to me what exactly you win when you win the tournament, but I guess nothing. Prestige.
We'll find out at the pay-per-view. Finals will be at the pay-per-view.
Okay. But do you win something at the pay-per-view if you win the thing?
I imagine. There should be something at the pay-per-view.
All right. Elsewhere on AEW Dynamite this week, we had CM Punk versus Johnny Hungy. Like, I thought that match was really good. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
It was interesting.
It was very interesting. Johnny Hungy can go. And he was over like crazy in his hometown in Long Island. Really impressive showing from Johnny Hungy. I loved it. This is where Johnny Hungy should be in big matches with guys like CM Punk.
He should have joined the Blackpools.
Well,
I'd be a lot more interested in their segments.
The Blackpools were kind of not that interesting this week. You like Punk? What did you like about Punk, John?
The entrance.
The jersey?
When he came out with the Tavares jersey. That was good.
Okay. So he had to explain to me what the hell that was. I didn't get that. I didn't understand what was going on there. I thought CM Punk came out in an Islanders jersey to play to the crowd and try to get them on his side, but it didn't work because they like Johnny Hungy more. I thought that was a miscalculation from Punk. Like, I thought Punk was like, oh, I know what I'll do, because last time I was here, they hated me because I was feuding against their guy MJF, but now I'll wear an Islanders jersey and they'll love me, so it'll be all good and we'll race the heat. And then it didn't work because Hungy's from there too, and I was like, I don't understand what's going on here. But then, See, I don't watch hockey, and I feel like they didn't explain the hell was going on there.
I don't think they knew. Excalibur said Punk was trying to, like,
play to the crowd.
Yeah,
but and that's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess he's trying to play to the crowd, but it doesn't work. I don't know. I wasn't sure what the hell he was doing. But then what's the deal with this Tavares guy? But Punk was wearing an Islanders jersey, but it was this guy Tavares who now plays for another team, and he played for the Islanders, but he left.
Just quick context. John Tavares was a first overall pick by the Islanders after, like, a lot of dark years.
Quick context, you said.
Yeah. So he was there for a long time, and then when he hit free agency, he left for Toronto, and the fans felt betrayed, and, like, they New York Islanders fans, like, burned his jersey and stuff. Yeah, he was the captain, then he went to Toronto for big money. So he's got tons of heat in Long Island.
Because he left for free agency?
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't he to take money?
They
should have paid him.
They thought he, you know, owed the team kind of thing.
Pay the man. You Toronto boo was off because you didn't pay him.
Toronto gave him like $11.5 million or something.
That's how sports works. Deal with it, Islanders.
So
Punk
was
trolling the crowd. I didn't get that, and that did not come across for me, who does not watch hockey. I don't watch ice hockey. Okay, guys, I don't know about this stuff. I watch baseball. I'm watching a Yankees game right now. 9-3 Yankees over the White Sox. Top of the ninth. They got two men on. With one out, Yankees looking to add some more runs.
Oh, yeah.
To put these White Sox away forever.
That game last night was insane.
Go home, White Sox. Your game is over.
They are home.
No, I'm saying, like, they should just leave the ballpark and go to their actual homes because they've lost. They should give up because they suck. They shouldn't have even shown up to the ballpark because they're playing the Yankees, goddammit. So, yeah, I don't watch the ice hockey. I watch the baseball. And, Punk did the whole thing. No, Antoinette, I think Antoinette, Punk is on your side. Antoinette saying Antoinette is a member of the team. She's saying, "Cry me a river, Punk. Stick to wrestling." See, everybody's confused by what CM Punk did. CM Punk, I think, is pro Toronto Maple Leaf, saying like he's wearing a Tavares jersey. He went to Toronto. Suck it, Islanders.
Just anti Islanders, anti Long Island.
Yeah, anti Islanders. Yeah. I think he's pro Chicago.
He's a Chicago Blackhawks fan.
I thought it was weird that he wasn't wearing a Blackhawks jersey because I thought he was a Blackhawks fan.
Well, the season the Blackhawks had have been it's not really the one to be proud of to be a fan. A lot of scandals played the Blackhawks organization this year. Sexual harassment. And
all right, I don't care. I'm so bored by this talk. See how bored I get by hot? You start talking hockey, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
So, no, he was just trolling the fans. Because he did that when he was shooting with MJF. He went and he told very specific, like, hockey kind of things to get heat. And he's just doing kind of the same thing this time around.
Oh, yeah.
He's just continuing that kind of trolling. It's trolling. In purest form.
Yeah. Antoinette says, go Toronto. Are the Torontos still in the things?
There's a game 7.
Is hockey going on? It's so damn hot outside, I can't imagine.
Hockey's going on until like late June, early July.
Get out of here. It's crazy talk. Hockey's still going on? Are my teams still in it? The
Rangers,
the Clippers and the Rangers?
The Rangers forced a game 7.
Rangers survived. Yeah.
And the Kings are on the ropes. There's a game 6 tomorrow against, or tonight against Edmonton.
Yeah, cool. Go Clippers.
I think it's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
It doesn't matter when the game is because I won't be watching it. I'll be watching UFC tomorrow because I got money on the fights, baby. Let's go, Team Dave. Blachowicz and Rakic tomorrow night. Let's go. UFC time. I really don't know what the hell's going on in any sports but fighting and wrestling.
And some baseball.
And baseball. I'm watching the baseball all the time. But I like pro fighting and pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about the hockey or the footballs or anything else, really.
Yeah, the only like basketball like we've really been following are the 1980s Lakers.
MJF was wearing an Islanders jersey too, right?
Yeah, with MJF on
own.
The back.
His own name.
Yeah.
More better. Yeah. I know who he is. He's MJF. Maxwell Jacob Friedman. That promo that he did in front of his hometown crowd for the Wardlow contract signing was another MJF masterpiece. I like him when the crowd likes him. I thought that was really good. When the crowd is into MJF, it's really good. All that stuff he was saying was just gold. I'm not going to dissect everything he said. It was classic. He did it again.
The part where you talked about, like, even the people in the cheap seats. Like, I know, you know, it's still tough for you, but...
You're poor, but I still love you. You're poor, but I still love you. Because you're from the greatest place in the world. Long Island, New York. Oh, man. What did he say about... He said something about the homeland, not Israel.
Yeah.
Like, he's Jewish, I'm here in the homeland, not Israel, Long Island, New York, you know? He's like, I love how, like, pro...
The Holy Land, even?
And I think he said the homeland. Mm. I don't know. But I love how pro-Jewish MJF is. I've never seen a wrestler that pro-Jewish. And also getting a pop for being, like, Jewish.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Like, only in Long Island. I don't know how many other places the pro wrestling market is going to cheer you for being Jewish. But MJF talked about being Jewish. He's like, Jewish. You know, I'm Jewish. And the crowd's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, shit. They're on Long Island, baby. Let's go.
Seinfeld country.
Yeah, I loved it. Howard Stern country, Seinfeld country. That's where those guys are born. They're Jews, by the way, if you didn't know.
Funny
guys.
Didn't know.
Us too, baby.
We're not from Long Island.
High five. No, we are not. We're from Montreal.
Mick Foley, no?
There's a lot of Jews
in
Montreal.
And Chris Jericho, he also dropped Manhasset.
Is not Jewish, and neither is Chris Jericho.
No.
Chris Jericho is very much not Jewish, but Mick Foley is also not Jewish.
Yeah.
A lot of people that are not Jewish are from Long Island as well.
Yeah.
Where's John Stewart from?
He's from Jersey.
Oh, okay. He's Jewish, though.
Yes, his real name is John Leibowitz.
God bless him. Good man. Johnny North, not Jewish, but an excellent man. You know? He's from Montreal. See, you know what I'm saying? MJF, excellent man. I just like that he's getting cheered for being Jewish Because, you know, there was a crowd a few weeks ago chanting Jesus at him, kind of taunting him. It's nice to see him at home in a comfortable situation, getting cheered and getting a lot of love. And it's just something that you don't really have. I don't think. I've never seen a wrestler getting cheered for being Jewish. I've never seen that. As a Jewish man, I have seen Jewish wrestlers before, but usually used as a way to make them bad guys or some sort of caricature of what a Jew is supposed to be, like a Barry Horowitz or a Scotty Goldman.
Harvey Whippleman?
I don't know if he was supposed to be Jewish. He's not Jewish in real life, that's for sure.
I don't know about AJ. AJ's saying it, but I'm not
what is
that.
What's AJ saying?
AJ Styles.
AJ's Jewish.
Not bad, AJ.
AJ's not Jewish. What's up, AJ? AJ's Italian. But, you know, he's basically Jewish.
As Tony Soprano said, Jews with better food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Jews and Italians, you know. Or as Pauly once said, you know, we got to get that to Elvis country. And Furio's like, Elvis country? What is that? It's anywhere where there's no Italians or no Jews. It's like,
I don't get it.
If there's no Jews and Italians, Elvis country. I love that.
Wow. Yeah, that was good.
I mean,
it makes sense.
What? I mean, you know what I mean? If you go somewhere and there's no Jews and no Italians, it's a different type of place.
Yeah, because we settled together, you know, in like New York,
we like
Montreal.
Each other.
We, you know,
we like each other. We get along.
They came in at the same time.
We get along, you know. Johnny's Italian. I was gonna say he's Jewish.
That's right.
Yeah,
family both strong in those cultures.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. I also like people that are not Jewish or Italian.
Yeah.
All right. Like my people over here. We got some non-Jews. You know, my children's mother, not Jewish or Italian. So
our mother,
not Jewish or Italian. So how about that? Yet, how did we survive? Who knows? Okay. What else happened on Dynamite other than the great Jew talk from MJF? I just love them saying, Friedman! You know, it's like no crowd has ever chanted Friedman in that way. Crowd has chanted Goldberg, and that was pretty cool. Never seen a guy, like, you know, we don't tend to be that huge and jacked for the most part, Jews. You know what I mean?
No.
It's not the prototypical Jewish guy, super huge and jacked. So it's nice.
The nebbish one.
Yeah, Goldberg made us proud. He didn't really push the Jewish thing. Yeah. Like MJF does, but, you know, he's a jacked Jew, so big respect to Billy G. Anyways, other shit happened on Dynamite. Tony Storm wrestled Jamie Hayter.
Oh, yeah.
And she won, right?
Yeah, she hit her move to a strong zero.
Oh, yeah, that was a weak finish.
Looks a little tired
out. That pile driver had nothing behind it. What the hell was that?
Well, that's actually her finish, though.
Is that how it always looks?
To be. Yeah,
really?
That's what it always is.
Well, she kind of looks like she stumbled a bit.
That's what it's supposed to be.
I can't believe that. Are you serious?
No, I thought it was like a bit more kind of like a package pile driver, kind of, or like a. Like she kind of.
No.
Well,
it's supposed to be like that.
It sucks. It needs to change. It's not very good.
Her finisher in WWE was different for sure. I think it was also called the Storm Zero.
Like,
but I think it was some kind of like move.
Is John Silver Jewish?
I don't know.
Silver could be Jewish.
Is that his actual name?
I think so.
His name is John Silver?
Yeah. He looks like he's Jewish. He's from Long
he's
Island,
funny.
Too. Doesn't hurt.
You know, he's a bit on the shorter side.
Is Hunky Jewish?
You know, Jews aren't.
I mean, you're a bigger fan of him
tough.
Than I am. Like, you should know. Like,
I gotta find out. I'm gonna find out if Hungy is also Jewish.
I mean,
a lot of Jewish wrestlers. Sometimes you don't know that they're Jewish, and all of a sudden you're like, what,
"Are
this guy's
lot?
Jewish?" Yeah, there's more than you would expect.
Like today or like all time?
Oh no, all time. They tend to hide it because
like
ribbing.
Chief J. Strongbow maybe was like Jewish.
No, I don't think so.
He's
Italian.
Italian. He's Italian.
He's Italian.
Yeah,
close enough.
But.
All right. Tony Nese and Danhausen was one of my favorite things that happened.
I liked how short it was.
It was great.
I was expecting a match.
I thought Danhausen was going to get the squashed victory, not the other way around. This was a an interesting way to do a squash. Tony Nese standing in the ring waiting for Danhausen. Danhausen comes out, elaborate entrance, first match in AEW. Everybody's excited. Comes out, gets hit with a move. 1, 2, 3, it's over. Like, the match lasted all of 5 seconds. Danhausen loses to Tony Nese. Hilarious.
I was expecting Danhausen to win, but then right where they showed Tony Nese, I was like, oh, it's Tony Nese. He's kind of, like, established. And then they showed the graphs that he's on a 5-win match win streak. So I'm like, okay, why is he getting jobbed out? And then I found it very funny. Like, if their intention was to make us laugh, mission accomplished.
I liked
it. I cracked up.
I thought it was a creative way to do it. And you further the story with Hook and Danhausen because Nese starts attacking Danhausen after and Hook makes a save. So Hook and Danhausen, maybe once foes, now possibly a tag team. Hookhausen.
Another set for the buy-in now.
What?
Like it's going to be Hook and Danhausen against Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. It's already set.
Mark Sterling is going to wrestle? He wrestles?
Apparently he doesn't, but Tony Nese is confident they could win regardless.
Oh. Okay. So that'll be on the buy-in of Double or Nothing, which is coming up at the end of the month here. And we only have, what, 2 episodes of Dynamite left before this pay-per-view? We're getting down to it.
I think so. Yeah, May 29th is coming up.
Is it set? Like...
Is what set?
Like I mean, the main matches?
Not much.
Like
Hangman
who's Thunder Rosa wrestling?
Serena Deeb.
Oh, that, yeah, that's
Serena
right.
Deeb.
That is official. Yeah. That is official. Hangman Page against CM Punk is official as well for the AEW World Championship. Harold Schneider dropping a super chat. He says, religion doesn't matter in wrestling. Talent and the ability to entertain does. Thank you, Harold, for the super chat. And I agree. I really don't think that it matters. It's just that for so many years... like being Jewish in wrestling was not something that you really talked about. And if you did, like a Scotty Goldman character, it was kind of something to be made fun of. And MJF is like Jewish and proud. And I think that it's nice to see. And I think it's a first in pro wrestling, which, you know, it's about time.
Uh-huh.
And that's really all it is. It's not like, hey, I like him better because he's Jewish. I just, as a Jewish guy, when I see a wrestler who's like out there and Jewish and talking about it and proud of it, and has faced, you know, some difficult, you know, some anti-Semitism in his life, and he talks about it as part of his character, I think that's good. I think it's, you know, I like hearing the real story no matter what it is, but just watching wrestling for as long as I have, not a lot of... Jews and you know, Paul Heyman, there's been a lot of kind of like subtle jabs at Heyman that are anti-Semitic, and Heyman just kind of rolls with it. But you could tell it's like people have said things about
Vince.
Paul Heyman. Vince has said things about Paul Heyman, just cracks about him being Jewish that have rubbed me the wrong way over the years. So to see a guy like MJF kind of representing in a proper way is it's nice to see because, you know, I've never seen it before. So that's really all it is. But I don't care. You know, when Hulk Hogan was talking about say your prayers and eat your vitamins and he had the cross around his neck, I was down with that too. Even though I couldn't relate to it, I was down with it because he was very cool.
When Shawn Michaels, you know, would drop to his knees for the pyro, we were like, okay, Shawn.
Yeah, but you don't believe Shawn. It's not that I reject his religion. Yeah. I reject Shawn Michaels and
like,
I don't
okay.
believe him. I don't believe that he's turned over a new leaf. I think he's still a bad guy, brother, because I'm Team Brett. And I don't know what religion Brett is. I don't know if Brett has a religion. His religion is pro wrestling, and so is mine.
That's what
I'm not a religious guy whatsoever.
That's what impressed me about Chris Jericho. Like Chris Jericho is a very devout person, conservative,
and he never put it out.
But when you think about it, it's there, like his name and like his moves, and like there's a lot of it there. But you know, the Lionheart, you know. But like, it's interesting. And when I was reading his book, I was like, oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
but he doesn't really put it out there.
It's fine.
There was
but also
remember Roman Reigns and Finn Balor when Roman Reigns asked God for help, And then he did help him, and he beat Finn Balor because of God.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was super weird.
Yeah, what the hell happened with that? Yeah.
Roman's had some weird promos about God and stuff.
Possibly.
Every now and then.
Possibly. Yeah, but overall, you know, religion and wrestling, it doesn't really matter. I don't think I'm basically atheist. I'd say I'm somewhere between atheist, agnostic, and Jewish, so I don't really know what that is. It doesn't
cultural
matter.
Jew.
I'm a Yankee fan. They're up 10-4.
That's part of being Jewish.
Bottom of the ninth. A lot of Jewish Yankee fans. Billy I will Crystal. Say that. It's the only, like in the playoffs, the first few rows, you're watching the playoffs, it's the only first few rows where you see, you know, guys in yarmulkes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see that in any other ballpark in the major leagues where consistently in the stands you're going to see guys that are obviously Jewish. You know what I mean?
That's true. If you watch Dodger games, you see Mary Hart in stands all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the Yankees, it's like the, you know, a lot of Jewish guys like the Yankees. It's just a fact of life.
The Bronx, you know, the Dodgers are gone.
It is what it is. All right, what the hell are we talking about? we're talking about Jewish Yankee fans. John, what are we talking about? Bring me back to wrestling.
Dynamite.
I think there was a FCW title match on Dynamite you didn't talk about yet.
Oh, Ricky Starks and the Jungly Boy. I don't need to talk about that.
That happened.
I mean, it happened, but I mean, what do you want to talk about? What about it? Did you like it?
Well, it seems like they're setting up a three-way tag again. It looks like it's going to be Jurassic Express against Team Taz against Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. That's what it seemed like they kind of set it up at the end there.
What's the deal with Jungle Boy and Christian?
It feels like there's going to be a turn somewhere, but who is going to turn? Like, you think it would be Christian, but maybe it won't be Christian.
You think the Jurassics will go heel?
Maybe when the Jurassics drop the belts, Jungle Boy goes heel and breaks off from the group.
Just becomes Jack Perry.
Maybe.
And they get rid of the Luchasaurus once and for all.
Oh. Or, you know, they just turn heel, both of them, on Christian. That's very possible, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Starks winds up beating Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy was mad that he lost, and Christian and Jungle Boy had like a weird, awkward kind of moment. It looked like something was going to happen, but nothing happened. They just kind of hugged awkwardly. Yeah. They had the Jericho Appreciation Society talking trash in the ring, and then they're talking about Eddie Kingston and how they're going to beat up Eddie Kingston. And then John Moxley shows up, and Jericho's like, well, what are you going to do? It's only one of you, and there's five of us. And they kept playing up how, the Jericho Society, they're five guys, and they kept beating up on Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. They're using the numbers advantage. So then Moxley comes out, and he's got Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Utah and even William Regal out there with him. And Jericho's like, well, there's only four of you, and there's five of us, so not good for you. And then, of course, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz show up from behind, and they all take out the Jericho Society of Men. Even Regal punched Jericho at one point. Why is this all coming together in one thing?
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense from a numbers perspective. Like, Jericho's team has five guys, and you know, it's six guys going against them, three in the blood sport combat club, whatever, and then three in the Eddie Kingston and friends. So it's six guys there. Who gets in a match? If there is a match, what the hell's going on? Why is the Blackpool Club with the Eddie Kingston friends? Are the Eddie Kingston friends now in the Blackpool Club? What the hell is this?
Yeah.
What the hell is this? I hate this so much.
I got
much.
Angry watching this segment.
Stop wasting Bryan Danielson. Fuck,
when
Tony Khan.
When I saw Moxley coming out, I was actually going like, no!
Yeah, Moxley's coming out to deal with this nonsense? Oh, Bryan Danielson's big match with fucking Daniel Garcia? Fuck.
Yeah, he's going to wrestle Danny Magic? Okay.
Stop wasting Bryan Danielson, motherfucker. And it's the thing that makes me the most mad about AEW. The whole show is fine. I got no problem with the show. Good show. This Blackpool Combat bullshit pisses me off every week.
I don't know if it's just because it's Moxley, but that segment felt very Shield. Just them coming out to help someone, the Hounds of Justice, you know, that kind of thing. And
lame.
They're there to help you when you need them, like the APA or something, you know, like that kind of thing. It's just like, fuck off.
It's lame.
It's so lame, and it's just a waste of talent, and it's all about Wheeler, Utah, and it's and it's just all meshed in. It's just overstuffed now.
I don't like it.
You know, I didn't like the Eddie Kingston friends either, and now you're gonna taint, you know, Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson with this further. You know, and this is going to be, apparently it's going to be like a blood and guts match, is the rumor, at Double or Nothing.
Buh.
So, like.
Who's in it?
Apparently,
well, who's not in it?
Apparently, Wheeler might not be in it.
Oh, that's
because he's the ROH champion thing.
Well, he sucks,
so he's
too.
Got that. So, it's just like they've been working on Wheeler, Utah for so much, and in this big match, he's not even going to be in it.
He means nothing.
So, ugh.
Yankees win.
Play that Sinatra.
The Yankees win.
Yeah, I was getting angry watching that. I kind of like skipped ahead because I was like, I don't care what happens, which made me upset because I'm like, this is Bryan Danielson. This is a guy I kind of like started watching AEW again for him and Punk. After All Out, I started taping it every week.
Yeah,
and it's just like, this is what you do with this guy. Ugh.
Waste.
Now, remember when this all started? The whole Blackpool, Combat Club, Jericho Appreciation Society. I said, like, this was a perfect feud right here. Sports entertainers versus wrestlers.
Uh-huh.
Like, it kind of wrote itself, so it just makes sense that they eventually face each other and in a big kind of match, blood and guts.
Moxley's
it makes a lot of sense.
Don't you think John Moxley's a bit of a sports entertainer more than a wrestler? I never get, like, you know, guy... Like I can't picture Moxley in a singlet. You know, or like wrestling a title. He's an entertainer. He uses his persona as like a loose cannon kind of thing. That's, you know, it's all part of it. The violence, the thing. It's not, you know, hard nosed wrestling. There's a lot of character in there, a lot of personality. That's sports entertainment.
Yeah, I don't see him as a wrestler. I see him more as a sports entertainer.
He identifies himself as a wrestler, though.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, that's nice. But
I don't buy it. I don't buy the Blackpool Club.
I had high hopes for this.
I don't need to see them feuding with the Jericho Society, teaming with Eddie Kingston and friends. It's just, it's not what I need Bryan Danielson to be doing right now. It's not interesting. It is really not interesting to me. Did you watch Rampage? Rampage happened real early tonight. I missed it again.
I saw it. I mean, besides, again, the Owen Hart tournament advanced, besides that, not much really happened. I had Scorpio Sky and Kazarian had a very good match. But that was about it. I mean, Rampage is a very short show, 1 hour. It goes by very quick. I liked Ruby
Kazarian,
Soho beat Rio.
Kazarian didn't win, did he?
No, it was close, but
okay.
He didn't win.
Okay. So Ruby Soho beat Riho to advance in the Owen Hart Cup tournament.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
Okay.
I mean, they've been using Ruby a lot with the Britt Baker and Tony
Storm.
Yeah,
but Riho was just coming back.
Yeah, but maybe she'll be involved. Maybe there'll be Britt versus Ruby will be a final.
I saw Sheeta was injured and out of the tournament.
Aw.
There might be some controversy with that because she wrote that she just had 4 matches. Apparently she's injured, but she still wrestled. And like, she wrote something about how like they don't like Japanese wrestling and it's too bad she's not in the tournament anymore. I don't know if this is like a work or a shoot or something. But she recently posted that, I think, after Rampage was over.
Huh.
I don't know if you can look up Sheeta's Twitter. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't know if it's a storyline or anything, but I mean, it seems odd that it would be a storyline where you're going against what they said on television, where it's like she's injured and we had to get a replacement for her, and now Chris Statlander's in her spot now instead to face Red Velvet.
Maybe it's a way for her to turn heel or something.
That is weird.
I guess you found the tweet.
Yeah. Well, I already had 4 matches after the street fight and just finished the greatest fighting musical show. What? But I seem to have been injured. Japanese wrestling is nothing for them. I'm so sorry, and sorry couldn't be in the tournament too.
Huh.
And then she continued. I'm glad from my heart that Chris is in the tournament now, and I'm going to try to enjoy sudden holidays in Japan because it has been a while before I had. Be positive.
Huh.
So, okay, that's weird. So Shida going home. They got nothing for Shida. They want her out of the tournament for some reason. They put Chris Statlander in as well. Instead, what the hell's going on? That's odd.
Yeah, something's going on. I'm not sure what, but maybe there's some sort of disagreement somewhere, possibly, or maybe something's about to expire and they're not going to renew, possibly, her contract. I don't know.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, coming up on Dynamite, Britt Baker will wrestle a mystery opponent in her Owen Hart quarterfinal match. If she wins, she will move on to face Toni Storm.
Any guesses?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Do you think of someone out from out of the company?
For the women's it's really tough.
It could be anybody.
I mean, it could be... I'm thinking Ember Moon right now, but I mean, it could be a wide variety of people. It could be just someone really random we don't even know. That's not really, like, has been on WWE before.
It could be, like, Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah, or Deonna Purrazzo.
Marina Shafir, maybe? No?
I don't see Mercedes because she just won the ROH Women's Championship, right? They're not going to put her in the tournament.
I don't know. If you put her up against Britt.
I mean, if you look at what they've been doing, they bring in someone from Impact, right? So it could easily be someone from Impact right away. Mickey James?
Know. Yeah, maybe. That'd be all right. Britt Baker versus Mickey James. That'd be fun. How about Samoa Joe? Who's going to be his mystery opponent on Dynamite? Could it be Cesaro?
I think there's a strong possibility for him, without question. But I feel like it's a weird spot, though, like, because he's going to be cheered then, right?
Yeah.
AEW would do that, but like you'd want someone, you get the reaction, but you still want Joe to be the face, I think, ideally.
Yeah. So who do you suggest? You got any idea? Like, I have no idea what they're going to do here.
Honestly, if you go off like the previous show, like, it should be Enzo.
Enzo versus Joe?
Is he still wrestling?
Yeah, he's still wrestling.
Isn't he, like, super jacked?
Yeah, I saw a jacked picture of him. I don't know.
Like, he's still not tall, so, I mean, he might be jacked, but, I mean,
yeah,
I think Joe would be okay. I wouldn't worry about Joe too much. But based off those reactions, it should be him, I think.
That is crazy. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, maybe that's where they go. We'll see. I'm just not sure what they do. I think it's weird that they have all these qualifying matches for the tournament, right, that last weeks and weeks, right? Months, really, of qualifying matches for this tournament. Tournament starts,
yep,
and there's two people that just get to randomly enter the tournament. They don't have to qualify. They don't have to do anything. Everybody had to qualify. Took forever. Get to the end. Well, the two jokers in the tournament, they don't have to qualify. It's fine. How does that work?
Well, it's to play into the whole it's double or nothing, right? So you have to add
like
in the whole...
Like a gamble?
Yeah.
It's a gamble. It's a risk. Everything's crazy.
And I guess it could also, like, establish a feud. Like, if one of the jokers goes on to win it, someone could come in and be like, hey, I had to bust my ass, and you just get to walk in. Now let's fight.
I don't know if the jokers do win. Yeah. I have no idea who wins these tournaments.
It's a big if.
At this point, Rey Fénix will wrestle Kyle O'Reilly, and Samoa Joe will wrestle a joker. And then the winner of those two matches will wrestle each other.
If we knew what, like, the prize would be, or if there is a prize, it'd be easier to kind of figure out. Like,
it
if it's a championship shot, be like, okay, it could be Joe, could be Adam Cole, but we don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what this tournament is going to be, but, you know, so far we've had some good matches in it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm match was okay. I thought the Cole and Dax Harwood match was pretty good. That Jeff Hardy, Darby Allin match was excellent. So as long as they keep doing good matches, it doesn't really matter. And Wardlow is supposed to take 10 lashes on Dynamite. He's supposed to take 10
right.
lashes And then he has to wrestle Sean Spears in a steel cage with MJF as the referee. And then he gets to wrestle MJF at the pay-per-view if he does all that, like, right?
With a whip?
I guess with a whip.
Or a belt. Well, it's what Cody had to go through, right? Cody did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get the match with MJF, he had to get whipped in the back with his weight belt there, right?
I remember then the cage match messed up.
Yeah.
I think from that. Like, he really looked like he took a beating there, I think, Cody.
Yeah.
So
it
I guess
was rough.
We can expect to see Wardlow.
He should.
Start, like, having some nasty gashes.
Well, it's got to mean something. And Hangman is going to wrestle Takeshita in a non-title match. Ooh. AEW champion Hangman wrestling Takeshita.
Who?
He is a DDT wrestler who's on loan to AEW or something. He wrestled Brandon Cutler on, like, Dark or something, and it was amazing. It was really impressive. So this match...
The Jay Lethal match was the one to watch.
I didn't see that one.
It was on Rampage last week.
Okay. He's good, this Takeshita.
Yep. I found out if you say his name like in English, it comes out a bit differently, but yes.
Takeshita?
There you go.
Takeshita. Show some respect, John. I'm trying to pronounce it as best as I can. Takeshita. He's good. I like him. I think the match with Hangman will be good. If you haven't seen him before, it'll be a nice introduction to him. You'll have a good match with Hangman. He'll lose, but maybe down the road they'll have a match for the belt, and it'll mean something. And that's about it. That's all that's happening in pro wrestling. Anything else happening, John, you want to talk about? What?
Well, have you
better be in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Have you seen what was going on with Kota Ibushi?
Oh, yeah, he's, like, mad at New Japan and trying to get out of New Japan.
And he mentioned, like, the Yakuza or something?
Did he say Yakuza?
Might be involved with the Yakuza? He seemed to insinuate.
Oh, boy.
Which could be a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, that's a risky proposition, but Kota is a very odd dude who probably would say shit like that and not really think of the consequences because he's weird.
Oh, yeah?
Kota is weird. Interesting guy, thinks differently. So I don't know what's going on with him in New Japan, but
I was wondering what your take on that would be.
I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't followed it that closely. I know that he's beefing with New Japan. I did hear something about the Yakuza and him making accusations, which is never smart. But he should probably, not work for New Japan anymore. It seems like Ibushi and New Japan are done. I don't know what the hell happened between Ibushi and New Japan that made him turn against them so much. But seems like it's
so
over.
So he won't be at Forbidden Door, I guess?
I guess not, unless he works for AEW.
Yeah, something stopping him?
Like, if he can leave New Japan, if it really is, like, over between Ibushi and New Japan, and he would like to live in the United States, I'm sure that he could find a job in AEW. I would guarantee it. I think he's got a good friend there who's an executive vice president of the company.
He'd be golden.
Yeah, he'd be fine. He'd be just fine. He's got a guy who loves him over there, right? And who wouldn't want to see Ibushi come back to Kenny Omega?
I think that's what everyone's been waiting for, I think, since the start of AEW.
Yeah, so all this stuff with Ibushi and New Japan may lead to greater things for Kota Ibushi in the future. I think his New Japan time, honestly, it kind of come to an end. Whatever's happening backstage, I'm talking about what's happening in front of the camera. I think he's done it all in New Japan, and it's time to move on to new challenges. And I think that he would be better served in AEW right now. It might be tough to leave his home country, and I understand that, but he could be big money for AEW and do big things for that company. I know he's beat up, though, and can't necessarily do all the things that he's been doing in Japan, but it's probably a good thing because he was doing way too much.
Those matches with Naito.
He did too much. I mean, no wonder he's beat up. I wonder how beat up he is. I hope he's okay. But, yeah, his body, his neck, everything is just taking a vicious beating. I'm a huge fan of his, and I hope he's all right. I hope his mind is all right, and I hope he can get out of New Japan and just go somewhere where he can wrestle and be happy.
Safe?
Yeah, and be safe. Maybe he needs to get out of the country, too. Stop talking about the Yakuza, because that can't That could, no. you know.
Yeah,
that could be bad.
You're not supposed to, like, mention it.
Yeah.
It's not... very special in Japan. Like, I think in Japan there's, like, a law or it's, like, a social thing. Like, you can't get a tattoo. Like, if you have a tattoo in Japan.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have tattoos,
yeah,
no.
Because it's associated with the
Yakuza. It's only the...
Is it against the law?
The gangsters that have tattoos. I'm not sure
if it's...
Or
just, like, a really bad faux pas in society.
I think it's just, like, you can't do it. But if you notice, like, none of the Japanese wrestlers have any tattoos. You know, a lot of guys in the States, everybody has tattoos and stuff, the American wrestlers, but the Japanese wrestlers, none of them do it because it's, it's culturally not what they do. It is only the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia, that has the tattoos over in Japan for the most part. Yeah, so Ibushi's getting maybe out of New Japan, hopefully. John, you got anything pro wrestling wise you want to bring up, or
that happened this week?
Anything
can't
happening?
Really say. I mean, we could talk about the whole Sunny incident, but I mean, I don't know if there's much to say that you really want to talk about there. It's terrible.
I mean,
yeah, what happened?
Yeah, Sunny is probably going to jail because
she is in jail now.
Is she in jail currently?
She's being held. Yeah, she's not. I think
I don't know what the charges are. But it was like, you know, she was involved in a drinking and driving scenario.
She crashed
into a guy and the guy died. And she's been in jail for DUIs and stuff many times in the past. She's had many different problems in and out of jail over the past several years. And now it seems like she's probably going to be in jail permanently, maybe for the rest of her life. People are saying she should be removed from the WWE Hall of Fame. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
If she killed the guy... Get her out of the WWE Hall of Fame. I understand she has her demons, but you know what? When your demons affect other people and people die, you get out of the WWE Hall of Fame, you know? That's how I see it. Donald Trump too, maybe, but hey, you know, whatever.
But
I don't think you should let a president of the United States, but that's another story because, you know, when you got the army behind you and shit, like you're ordering hits all the time. I mean, you're causing death as well, right? As a leader of a nation?
The story came out, like, his defense secretary wrote a book, and Trump asked him, it's like, hey, could we, like, bomb Mexico, and, like, they wouldn't
really
know it was us? Like, say somebody else did it?
That's amazing.
And the quote is, they wouldn't know it was us.
I love that. Trump, like, wow. There's stuff that's coming out about Trump now, like, of how he operated and stuff, and everything is just hilarious.
It's like a sitcom.
Trump was saying how helicopters, you know, he was like, oh, maybe we could take a helicopter. And then he's like, no. Helicopters, no good. They always break down. I don't want to take a helicopter. There's always a part that's broken or a part that's missing. You know what the problem is with helicopters? Too many parts. Too many parts. This guy solves helicopters.
Some parts not so good.
You know what the problem is with helicopters? There's too many parts.
Some parts are very strong.
Yeah.
They're very strong.
And some
are weak.
What does he think?
That's okay.
This helicopter should just come one part. Boom. Helicopter. It's like, I think it needs all the parts so it can, like, be a helicopter, man. That's how, like, machines work with, like, a bunch of parts and shit. And that's how they work. I don't know how they work. I'm no helicopter mechanic, but obviously neither is Donald Trump. Yet he's like, you know what the problem with helicopters is? He's in them a lot, and he knows that sometimes they don't work because there's a part that's broken. So he has deduced in his mind the problem with helicopters is there's just too many parts, man. If there's just one or two parts, way easier to fix. Yeah. What? Insane. I love it. The guy is hilarious. He cracks me up.
Yeah.
I'm not a Trump like hater or any, you know, I don't go crazy about Donald Trump. I really don't like politics at all. I just find him amusing. You know, like
you
I found
can dislike him and also think he's hilarious.
I don't even dislike him that much. I don't dislike him. I just dislike some of the things that he does and says.
Espouses.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like I find him too entertaining to dislike, and I don't know. Whatever. I don't want to talk
about
him. I don't want to talk about him. He's goofy and he's not the president anymore, so it doesn't matter. And like,
back.
I think I did. Like, here's the thing. I think I probably agree with Joe Biden on more shit, but I dislike him way more than I dislike Donald Trump because he's just lame, you know? Trump at least was hilarious. Trump had good jokes and some cool lines, and he had Triple H at the White House. Like, Biden is just this lame old fuck who's basically has the same ideas and thoughts as Donald Trump. He's just not saying them out loud because he's more polite about it. Like, I just, you know, I dislike him more, but he's probably more in line with what I think should be happening. But even then, he's fucked. He's fucked.
Yeah,
they're all
fucked.
They've
been doing some pretty messed up things.
You know what I'm saying?
Biden's
like, I think I agree with Biden more, but I also dislike him way more than Trump because I just, you know, I was a big Celebrity Apprentice fan. Mm. So, you know what I'm saying? All right.
I love St. Bernard.
I don't know what that means.
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like a cool guy.
He doesn't seem like a cool guy to me. He seems like a fucking boring old fuck. Fuck that guy.
He saw the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, he's so old. He saw the Brooklyn Dodgers. That's old. Bro, that's old. That's like AJ old.
The 50s.
Shout out. Yeah, AJ's in his 50s. Shout out to AJ D'Alessio watching. Old man AJ. We love you, buddy. Yeah, Brandon. Yeah, that's it, AJ. AJ loves it. AJ is like a big
Joe Brandon
Biden supporter or something. I don't know.
AJ.
I have lost track. I don't care. John, when is your next match? When can people see you in the ring? I'm going to start doing that again because you're wrestling more often. So let's go. Tell us. Soon, right? Like this weekend?
Well, I think people should check out the NCW show tomorrow, actually, or almost later today, actually. It'll be almost midnight here. So not quite, but close enough. And yeah, check out promotionsncw.com for the info for the show. This Saturday and next Saturday, there's two shows. It's busy next couple Saturdays.
So NCW.
No, promotionsncw.com.
No, I'm just saying NCW has a show tomorrow. And
that's correct.
Next week. And you're on both of these shows?
Well, I'll be around. I don't know if I'll be actually on the show, but I think there'll be some good matches to watch for sure. I definitely would check out Latino Connection. I think they'll be defending their tag team titles, so I'd watch those matches for sure. They're worth watching.
Is Contador wrestling?
I believe so. Should be.
Oh, yeah, El Contador.
Oh, against the Casanovas.
I believe one of them is injured, so I think there's a replacement, I believe. I'm not 100% sure if they announced that or not, but yeah, that match is going to happen. Of some sort of variety will happen.
Which Latino Connection member is Contador teaming with?
I want to say it's Giancarlo. I want to say.
Oh, okay.
Should
Giancarlo.
Be. Again, but as the card says, you know, subject to change. People getting hurt, so wait and see. Yes, right away. Like, one of those guys in the match will not be in the match.
Which one?
The one in the white suit.
Okay.
He's actually injured.
White suit is injured.
He's got a good look.
Other guy, not injured, will be there. And this guy, Giancarlo, the other guy, El Contador. Now, if you take
looks
off
good.
His mask, he looks really good, right? Handsome guy. Good body. Jacked.
Really good, yeah.
Looks pretty good on
potential.
That poster. Yeah, right? I like him.
Yeah, I feel familiar with that guy.
He looks real familiar, John. Now, you're saying you're
Masvidal,
not on...
Eh?
Who?
AJ says he looks like Masvidal.
Jorge Masvidal?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, John, this guy looks real familiar, this Contador guy. You're saying you know him, but you're not him, right? That's the official line?
Like, if it's Masvidal, that's amazing. I didn't know if it was Masvidal, really.
What?
Is Dan Lambert their manager?
That's what AJ's saying, it's Masvidal.
You're going to face Jorge Masvidal?
Oh, geez.
No, I think he's saying that one of the guys, your opponents, looks like Masvidal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not El Contador.
No. So this show, go to promotionsncw.com for more info. The show is Saturday, the 14th of May in St. Therese. Opening bell at 7:30. Tickets starting at $20. VIP tickets at $25 if there's still some available. And
I don't think there are.
Oh, wow. No more VIPs. So maybe you can get in with the $20 tickets to go check out this show tomorrow, Saturday, NCW in Sainte-Thérèse, Quebec, 120 Boulevard du Seminaire in Sainte-Thérèse, 7:30 start time at the Centre CCTB. CCCTB. I don't know what that stands for, but that's where the show will be, the Centre CCCTB. Derek John saying, Contador is your older brother. That makes sense. Is he your older brother?
Like Ezekiel or yeah. Elias?
If yeah. he is, like, it's good to know. He didn't tell me if that's the case.
Wow. Your long-lost brother?
Well, how could he tell you, John? I think Contador speaks only Spanish. And grunts.
That's a good point.
Spanish and grunts. You know? All right. Well, go see the show tomorrow, Saturday, Sainte-Thérèse, Quebec. And for more info on NCW and their newly crowned tag team champions, the Latino Connection Incorporated, go check out promotionsncw.com to see more about the Latino Connection and especially the masked man, El Contador, who may or may not be Johnny North's older brother. We don't know. All right?
Mystery's out.
And that is it. I'll be back at some point next week for more stuff of wrestling. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I was going to say
UFC talk.
Yeah, UFC too. We might be back. I mean, we'll definitely be back on Thursday, next Thursday, for the Ringside Report MMA show. But we might be back before then. Maybe Monday, maybe Wednesday, something like that. I think we'll... I don't know. I'm working on something, but I think we'll definitely do a post-Dynamite on Double or Nothing week. Right? That makes sense. I will, anyways. John, I know, maybe not, but maybe the Simon Brothers in full effect. We'll see, but we're coming back, baby. I know I've been promising it, but I got a new baby, and, you know, she's getting older, and things are happening. But we'll be doing more shows over the next coming weeks, getting back into full effect here on the Ringside Report Network. But for now, we are on every Thursday at 8 p.m. for Ringside Report MMA and every Friday at 10 for this show, Wrestling Uncensored. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And thank you to Harold Schneider. You are the Super Chat Leader of the Night. Thank you, Harold. Shout out to all the members as well. Harold Schneider, Franco316, Derek John, Antoinette Log. I feel weird calling her Antoinette Log. I know, like, it's short for, like, her last name. I'm just going to call you Antoinette. Antoinette, Derek, Harold, all the members. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate you, Franco, as well. Join that ringsidereport.net if you have not joined already. And don't forget, you can super chat us anytime like Harold did, or you can super thanks us as well. Drop a super thanks after the show is done. If you're watching the replay version, not watching us live here, you can drop a super thanks on the YouTube as well to support the Ringside Report Network. And that's it. Giving you more winners for tomorrow night. Go cast your tickets. Go watch Ringside Report MMA if you have not already. I went 5-for-5 on my UFC 274 picks. Gave you Carla Esparza for the win. I gave you more winners last night on Ringside Report MMA. Go cash it in. Bet 99.